WHYY is proudly supported by Penn Medicine. From groundbreaking discoveries to life-saving care, Penn Medicine's innovation is helping to change lives, one moment, one treatment, one patient at a time.
When Eva Hoffman was 13, her family moved to Canada from Poland. The struggles we all face during early adolescence were only heightened for Hoffman by the extreme change in her environment. She couldn't find the words to describe all the new things around her, the houses, clothes, trees, birds, or to express her feelings in the language she would eventually make her own. Hoffman went on to study English literature at Rice and Harvard universities. She settled in New York, where she is now an editor at the New York Times Book Review. Hoffman recounts her cultural metamorphosis in her memoir, Lost in Translation, A Life in a New Language. I asked her what she remembers as the most difficult adjustment she had to make.
It wasn't that, you know, some one thing in my world had changed. Everything had changed. So that, you know, the world seemed alien and incomprehensible in its most fundamental details. I remember early on walking down an ordinary suburban street with my sister and looking at the houses in that street and trying to figure out in Polish, of course, we didn't know any English at that point, trying to figure out, well, what would you call these houses? And we would say villa. I mean, that's sort of a word that you use in Polish for a certain, for a townhouse. No, it wasn't quite that. Is it like a house in a village? No, it isn't quite that. Well, what is this? You know, we had never seen architecture like that, and we had never seen suburbia. You know, we didn't have a notion of this place between the city and the country. And for me, I mean, that was the most acute loss, you know, was not to have language, words which would make the world, you know, familiar and cozy and my own.
You talk about a word, the Polish word, and I may be mispronouncing this, tęsknota.
Yes.
Which is like a form of nostalgia. Now, nostalgia means a pain of remembering. Mm-hmm. Does this word have a similar context to in Polish?
Yes, it does. It has that context with, I think, a sort of added element of great yearning, of missing the place and a yearning to be there. It's as much about the present as about the past. I mean, it has a sense of being drawn back to the place which you have left.
This seems to be sort of a theme of your reaction to moving to this country, sort of a moving forward while also trying to retain the past, a sense of trying to remember how boys and girls were in Poland with how they are in the new land, and trying mm-hmm. to combine them in some way that's intelligible.
You know, I mean, adolescent immigration is probably, you know, the most tricky, because you are just beginning to form yourself, you know, and to have a sense of who you are, but you aren't completely formed yet. And I was formed enough so that I felt a sort of loyalty, you know, to my past, to my former identity. And it was what I, you know, what I had, what I knew.
At what point do you feel you passed through the membrane of being an outsider to become a participant in the culture? Do you remember that transition?
I think it was quite gradual. I think, I mean, probably one salient moment was, in fact, going to Europe and seeing that, you know, seeing how much I've become Americanized. I mean, that I was, you know, not European. You know, that my movements, my gestures, my points of reference, you know, had become quite permeated.
Language can be both a means of misdirection or of holding someone off, but it's also the means of expressing intimate thoughts to one another. You have a section in your book that I think speaks very clearly about the difficulties and how you tended to adjust toward the English language. And I wonder if you might read this to us.
Okay.
It's the one on page 245.
All right. I love you, I murmured to the man beside me in the nearly inaudible voice in which these most private utterances are made. These words are meant only for my lover. They are said in that space in which there is almost no space between us, in which they're almost the palpable filament of breath. For a long time, it was difficult to speak these most intimate phrases, hard to make English, the language of woolen abstraction, shape itself into the tonalities of love. In Polish, the words for boy and girl embodied within them the wind and crackle of boyishness, the breeze and grace of girlhood. The words summoned that evanescent movement in melody and mask that are the interior inflections of gender itself. In English, men and women were empty signs. Terms of endearment came out as formal and foursquare as other words. In that neutral and neutered speech, words were neither masculine nor feminine. They did not arise out of erotic substance, out of sex. How could I say darling or sweetheart when the words had no fleshly fullness, when they were as dry as sticks? But now the language has entered my body, has incorporated itself in the softest tissue of my being. Darling, I say to my lover, my dear, and the words are filled and brimming with the motions of my desire. They curve themselves within my mouth to the complex music of tenderness. Perhaps you cannot love one person when you don't love the world surrounding him, the common sensibility that somehow expresses itself in each one of us. It has taken me a while to recognize sexuality in the American grain, to see what is to be trusted within it. I can read the lineaments of decency and a sort of ardent honesty in the face of this man beside me. I trust the will that drives him hard to make sense of things without games or camouflage, that modest American forthrightness that is the best part of innocence. His passion flows from that honesty, and it propels me to speak with that ease in which everything can be said. We speak, my lover and I, until words tumble out without obstacle, until they deliquesce into pure flow, until they become the air we breathe, until they merge with our flesh.
That's a very beautiful passage.
Thank you.
And the language there flows to you, and it does not come across as abstract as you see English as a language being. It sounds very vivid and felt.
Uh-huh. Well, you know, I mean, I think that was a long evolution to get to that point, but it was what I wanted language to be. I mean, I wanted it to be a part of myself. I mean, that learning language abstractly was really not very hard. What took very long was for the language to, you know, permeate into the cells of, you know, the cells of my being.
This book of yours, Lost in Translation, was it for you kind of a passage in writing it?
It turned out to be. You know, I didn't set out to do it for therapeutic reasons or because I thought it would be cathartic or anything like that. I set out to do it because I thought, you know, that the certain aspect of the immigrant experience has really not been written about with exactitude. And it was precisely this aspect of translating yourself, of translating your identity into a new culture and a new language. But I have now told the story and it is there and I no longer have to sort of preserve it and be very so preoccupied with it as I was. And also, you know, the responses to the book have been wonderful and generous, and I see that people understand.
Would you like to see it translated into Polish?
Yes, that might be very interesting, and I think, you know, it's not unlikely that it will be. And, you know, that would be very gratifying, I mean, to just have that circular return.